it really boils down to, again, living by default is what's easy and familiar. And that's where the mind likes to stay. What's familiar is predictable. It is safe. Our minds are meant to keep us safe. They'll be our biggest competition on the face of the earth. But when we really boil everything down to where we are and where we want to go, it's, is this still serving my vision? This is where decision mastery comes into play. And honestly, I tell families, don't go by what your coach said or what somebody said on a podcast. Find somebody who's going to help you ask those better questions and help you create and design that piece. And then take that back to the family and ask the family, can we design this together?
Mama! Let's reimagine mom life together. Mama Has Goals is your hub for relatable support and helpful resources that help you fuel yourself alongside motherhood. Your identity is bigger than mom, and whatever your goals are, together we're making them a reality. Your questions will definitely determine the answers you get, the resources you can find, the people that are going to support you, and how you achieve your goals. But not everyone's questions look the same, and not everyone's looking for the same answer. So how do we identify how to ask good questions and how to really work through the life that we currently have, the life that we want, and where we're going? We're going to break down this and so much more on this episode today with our guest, Jacqueline Mack. She is a recovering high performer, make it happen mama. She stepped into motherhood a little earlier than she expected to because she was trying to just live life and have a good time. We talk about what this looked like with her and her partner, how she stepped into navigating being a people pleaser, being a high achiever, and working into now helping so many people through coaching and all of the different ways that she helps you find yourself through the quality of your questions. She does this through her Rise Up experiences, her one-to-one coaching, and Rise Up stands for Radical Intentional Self-Expansion, Unleash Your Unlimited Potential. And this results in more freedom, more time, more money. But we talk about really, what does this mean on a day-to-day life? How do we navigate discipline and this concept of I get to versus I have to? And what does that mean in a real life? Because we can sit there and say, oh, I get to have this experience. I get to have a frustrating moment with my child. That's true. But also when you're in it, you don't want to feel that. So we break that down. We break down how just because you're good at something doesn't maybe mean it's the right fit for you. And we break down how do you bring all of these different concepts into parenting and how you show up there. So grab your headphones, grab a beverage, and dive in. Excited to have you here today. There is nothing like meeting amazing boss moms on the internet that you connect with, and you just start having this conversation. And it always happens before I click record where I'm like, how do you just find these people and they feel like you've known them forever? And I don't know why it still surprises me because it happens all the time. But I think it's such a really good reminder that whenever we feel alone, there's like thousands of people out there to support us and connect with us and connect on whether it's motherhood or business or life. And so I just want to kick off there and ask you, when you started stepping into pursuing your business or navigating motherhood, how are some of the ways that you expanded your network to see what you could do and open your mindset very initially before you were even helping other people do that?
Yeah, that's a good question because I was always helping people. So that's the part of my career path that's like always been something that's been like the backbone or the common thread is always helping people because I started out in the corporate health and wellness space, selling big ticket corporate health and wellness programs. Then I did high ticket sales before high ticket sales was called a thing. And then when the whole online business area started navigating and being an opportunity to create some time freedom and money freedom, I was like, oh, ironically, when we talk about divine timing, it is divine timing, how you and I met, how the right people fall in the right place at the right time. I was laid off from what I thought was my dream job. And it wasn't due to performance. It was due to the company being bought out by a big Fortune 100 company, but they couldn't tell me that. So everybody eventually got laid off, even the founders, right? But when you're one of the first at the chopping block from a really small mom and pop's amazing corporate wellness program, and you think this is where you're going to retire, it literally took me out at the knees, right? And thank goodness this was before children because I literally lost myself. And the one main thing I learned from that situation, and obviously hindsight's 2020 is a blessing for sure, but that first year, I did not see that as a blessing. I thought something was wrong with me. I was already recovering people pleaser and perfectionist. So it was like, oh, what else? And I just hired my first sales coach that I was meeting with on a Friday and I got laid off that Thursday. So when I got call, I'm like, I have nothing to sell except for me right now. And I'm not even confident in what I have to offer. And so the identity part, right? It's like, how do you identify yourself and who is the I am? Because I put all my identity into this one title. I gave all my power away to this one role. And we're more than that, right? We're more than a mom. We're more than a business owner, a friend, a neighbor, a volunteer. You could go on and on. If you really sit down and be curious and creative about all the I ams, like, I'm also a bad butt, is like my kids call, because they don't cuss, but they know those words. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. And that's what I do for other people, is I help them really understand and figure that out. So I was almost forced with that layoff into the entrepreneurship, because I'm like, screw that. Once I finally understood, like, wow, I put so much into this one role as deciding who I am. And so when someone took that away from me, I felt like they took me away. And it was like, that was my fault, not theirs, right? So I learned a lot very quickly. And thank goodness for Tony Robbins at the time, because this was back in 2008. And I totally OCD'd on his stuff, hired one of his coaches, pretty much became like one of his coaches, even though I technically didn't work for his company. And I'm like, this is what I want to do. I want to help people not fall victim to something like this. And from there, I honestly just started putting myself in places that seemed like fun, because I'm also one of those type A people that was like, well, you can't have that until you accomplish this and check the box. And even as I grew in my relationship with my husband, he would call me the fun police and the dream crusher. And I'm like, no, I help people live their dreams. I'm not the crusher. And he goes, with us, you set other standards. And I'm like, I'm also a realist optimist, right? Yeah. So at the end of the day, I'm like, yes, we get to have more fun. We get to do the things we want to do. And honestly, networking online, networking in person, and retreats, thank goodness for retreats these days, because those are even more of the fun way to go and travel and explore. It just keeps getting better. And the better it gets, especially with the online area and the opportunities. Like, they're endless. They truly are endless.
They are. And I think it's just getting in the place that, for one, you don't have a choice, like where you are at, or two, you're so ready that you're going to make that move. You're going to do that. But that doesn't actually happen that often. It's actually more common that you're in the place where you're like, I'm at rock bottom. I have no other choices. I have no other options. I have to do this. And I think that's really interesting, because people can take that two ways. They either say, I'm at rock bottom, so I have to, or I'm at rock bottom, so I can't. And they're going to take it one step or the other. Now, what's so interesting to me is you had this pivotal moment before motherhood, because so often in our community, we hear this loss of identity or this shift in motherhood. That's when people start to feel it. And I hear people all the time say, I lost myself in motherhood. I don't even know who I am anymore. And I hear you, but I actually believe that we lost ourselves before motherhood, because we never really knew who we were. And then just when we become a mom and we have these little humans asking us questions and we're trying to navigate it all, we're like, wait a second, who am I? And it's not that they took anything from you. You just never figured it out. And so whether it's being laid off or it's having kids or something happening, it takes something for you to take a step back and be like, wait a second, who do I want to be and what do I want to do? And I remember you sharing with me that when you stepped into motherhood, you actually weren't planning on being a mom quite yet. And it's funny, because I met my husband when I was 19, and basically we sat down and I was like, here's the deal. I want a big family. I want kids. Don't waste my time if you're not interested, type of thing. Some women don't know if they want kids till they're 40. And you were somewhere in the middle there, right? A little bit younger than that, but you were like, I don't know, maybe one day. So let's talk a little bit about your journey from that layoff, that shift of identity, stepping into entrepreneurship, and then living this really fun, adventurous, single relationship life, and then being like, I guess we'll have kids. So what happened there?
I love it. Yeah. So fast forward, met my husband in 2005. So he was with me on that journey too. And it was weird because it was also like, I didn't love myself. And it's hard for somebody else to love you when you don't love yourself. And then they think something's wrong with them. Yeah. No. So there's a lot more to that story for another episode. But yeah, for the sake of this situation here, it was definitely a journey. And it was one of those things where even my family was like, oh no, she's never having kids. She's such a type A. She's a businesswoman. She's going to, everything I did. I made happen. That was my nickname. And that was actually my first coaching name, was Make It Happen Matt. So anybody hired me, I came in, I made things happen, whether it was behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, the sales, the customer service, the networking, the relationships, the connections, all of it. Like, it was all possible. And I just knew, not logically, but deep down in my bones, in my gut, in my intuition. And I've lived it for so long. And I didn't even realize there was actually like science and methodology to all of this, which is now in my program. But it was that point where my husband was like, look, we keep talking about kids and we keep saying, after we do this or after we do that, he's like, do we want them? And I was like, I think so. Like, I love other people's kids. And we had so many nieces and nephews. And he was so good with his nieces and nephews. Yeah. And I'm like, I feel like we would be missing out if we didn't try. But we didn't have that dream wedding, nor did we have that dream house family with how many kids, right? Everybody either has or doesn't have. So we were like, okay, we are getting older. This was in our mid-30s. And we're like, what would we want to do that's not kid-friendly that we could just do now and get it out of our system? So we went to Tahiti, went to Bora Bora, which usually most people wait till they're retired. And we're like, yeah, why wait to retire to do that? Had a blast, swam with sharks, did all the things that we wouldn't do with kids. And we're like, is there anything else? And I'm like, no. And we were like, okay. We went to Bora Bora in August. And then we were like, okay, next year, let's get pregnant. Because first we were like, let's get pregnant in Bora Bora. And we're like, Even then we delayed. We're like, no, let's put it off till we get back. And then it was February the following year. So August, now we're in February. I got pregnant. And it was January and February. Like, we're going to try in November. No, we delivered a baby in November. I remember this day to the T because at first I was a little pissed off. And I can say this like lovingly because my husband was racing dirt bikes. He had just started racing aquacross, which is like motocross on the water with jet skis. And he was just in their commercial. So he was so excited. He already did one season, was starting another season, came home from recording the commercial. And I show him the pregnancy stick. And I'm like, you get to pick one hobby because I don't get any hobbies for the next 9 months. And he was like, what? And I'm like, we're pregnant. And he was like, so excited. He's like, honey, like almost tears, kissing me, loving me, touching my belly. And I was like, I still need a minute. And I'm allowed to be like this. And then I called my cousin, who's a naturopath. I'm like, I'm excited, but I'm also a little pissed that it didn't happen on my time.
Yeah.
So fast forward, baby Katie's born. And then 2 years later, baby Kelsey's born. All through that growth period of becoming a mom, I read the books, right? I talk to my friends, and it doesn't matter how many friends you talk to, how many books, it's the real life experience, right? And This was the good part about my pregnancies. I didn't read the books that were talking about all the things that could go wrong because I'm like, what are the chances of those things happening? Very slim. I'm going to focus on positive pregnancy, be curious about what could go right in all the cool ways. And they did. They were actually really good pregnancies. And I love pushing babies out, which is weird. My doctor thinks that's the craziest thing ever. Didn't love most of the pregnancy because I had two girls. My body doesn't love extra estrogen. So I had morning sickness the whole pregnancy. And I'm not a puker. Like, I wanted to. I felt like I had to, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
So that was the most annoying. So second baby pregnancy, my husband shipped me to Ohio, where our family is, for 2 months. He goes, I'm not dealing with this part again. Here, send the two-year-old, send you up. Come back down when it's safe so you're not traveling with baby could be due, and we'll figure that out once you get back. So that was cool to be with family during that time. But it really was something that I asked myself, would I regret not having a child or two or three? And I was like, wow, yeah, I would regret not trying. If it's in our plan, who am I to decide or control it? But if I don't try, I would regret that. And that's the same way I handled my wedding. All my friends were having these big, amazing weddings. I'm like, I feel like I've done the wedding thing through you. I just want to elope and go to New Zealand for our honeymoon and come back, have a party with their family. And then I asked myself, would I regret not walking down the aisle with my dad and having a wedding party and having those photos and memories to reflect upon? I was like, yeah, I would. I had a nice wedding. And I'm glad I did that too, because it meant more to the family members, our grandparents who are so traditional. And man, we would have took their opportunity to celebrate us. Like, how selfish is that? Mm. So again, it's just checking back, would I regret that? And that's what I teach a lot of people. It's put your hand on your heart space and just close your eyes and be like, would I regret that? And if it's, heck yes, I would regret that, then you know the answer. If you're not sure, then ask more questions, go deeper. Because I feel like sometimes our culture or our family or our friends tends to put this pressure on us on the way things should be. Yeah. And I think, no, your life by design, your way, because I believe God doesn't make mistakes. If there's a desire in you, it's for you. If you have a desire not to have kids, don't do it. I actually have 3 of my best friends don't have children. And at first I was like, oh my God, you're missing out. And then I apologize. I thought, I'm like, I'm so sorry I keep saying that because you're not missing out. You're enjoying my children. And if this isn't what you would love, then don't do it. So yeah, that's my whole journey in a nutshell. But as I got back into work, I was like, oh my gosh, I thought for sure I was going to hire the full-time nanny, go straight back into work, 40 hours plus week, do my high ticket sales thing, consulting and all the fun things online because I've created this money freedom that was amazing. And then boy, was I fooled, right?
Yeah.
I get to that point where I hired the nanny part-time, was getting ready to go back to work. And I'm like, I don't want someone else to raise my children, right? And not that it's a bad thing or this isn't a right or wrong, but that's something I had to tell myself. It's okay to change my mind and be like, let's go start out part-time. If it's something I want to do, you can try it. You can reset. You can pivot. The point of all of this is just be true to yourself. What do you really desire? Not just want, because want can come and go. I could want an ice cream cone. I could want a pizza. But like going back to this whole, who am I? The clarity part of who are you? What do you want? What do you desire? What do you deserve? And what does all of that mean? And if we don't give ourselves some space and grace to be curious and creative and get clear, we'll live out somebody else's dreams. And before you know it, we're on our deathbed. And that's the number one regret, is living out somebody else's expectations before living out our own. And I was like, damned if that's me, and damned if I let my kids do that.
You brought up so many good points. And a couple of the things I want to unpack a little bit is I think that it requires us to get quiet and figure out what do we want and be able to answer those questions, right? Whether it's, do I want to have kids? Am I going to regret that? Do I want to have the wedding? Do I want to be able to stay home with my kids? It shows up in so many different ways. But one of the things that you said is you would be robbing the experience from your family if you didn't have the wedding. And I hear you, and I totally understand what you're saying with that. And that's where you can get in with you and decide, do I care? Do I care if I give this opportunity to someone else? Do I care if I'm being selfish in this situation? Do I want to be selfish? And that's part I want to unpack a little bit more, because sometimes we do need to be selfish, right? Sometimes we do need to set boundaries. We don't have to explain ourselves to other people, right? If we want to stay home with our kids, we can figure out a way and we don't have to explain to someone else. If you want to go to work and you want to have a full-time nanny, someone is going to judge you. Someone is going to say, hey, you're not spending any time with your kids, but you know what's right for you. So how do you find that balance? How do you find the balance of being selfish and also sitting with yourself and saying, do I want to do this for me or do this for someone else? What do I do?
Yeah. So when you said that, I immediately flashed back to when I used to breastfeed Kelsey and hand her off to the nanny. And I got backlash from some neighbors about that. You're working from home, but yet you look like you're taking care of your kids. And yet the nanny's still there. And I'm like, who are you to judge? But that's the thing. We're meaning making machines by default mode. And I cannot agree with you more than 1,000% on this whole topic of boundaries and being clear on what is it that you want it to look like without justifying and explaining. This is actually one of the biggest pieces behind my coaching program, is really helping people with those boundaries and getting clear on what those are and being okay with changing them as life changes, right? I mentioned the wedding thing, and for our grandparents, not even really for aunts and uncles and cousins, but they were so old, we knew if we didn't have the wedding near them that they weren't coming to it. And we're like, we're having this for them. So we need to plan. We live in Florida. We had a wedding in Ohio in February. We had snow, sleet, rain, all the things. My friends were like, what are you torturing us? And I'm like, just suck it up, buttercup. We have
It's not for you.
It's not for you. It's not even for us. It's just for our grandparents. And we would regret not doing that for them. And thank God we did, because we got married in February. His grandpa died in fall that same year. Mm. And we didn't see that coming. So going back to making sure you don't have to explain, you don't have to justify, you get to change your mind. And with that freedom to know, if you don't trust your gut and your intuition on that, and you keep hearing that voice say, I don't want to do this anymore, or why do I have to do it this way? Time to give yourself some grace and space to go in. And I wholeheartedly believe the quality of your life is directly reflected in the quality of the questions that you ask yourself. 100%. We're not taught to ask ourselves questions, right? So it's like weird, a little wonky at first. If you've never used journal prompts, or you've never hired a mentor or a coach that's like drilling you with questions, you're like, enough already. It's because it's not our parents' fault, by the way, because they didn't know better. And it's not our fault because we didn't know better. But you're listening to this podcast right now, you're going to know better. So now we get to do better, right? So no excuses. But again, if none of this is aligning to you, then find something that is, right? It's just which way is going to be the most fun, most in alignment, according to what you desire to do and experience along the way, because at the end of the day, whether the goal is to have a baby, the goal is to fall in love, the goal is to get married, the goal is to launch the business, to build a multi six, seven figure business, we don't get to the goal, right? We become the person that experiences the goal. And this is a lesson I have to continue to remind myself to this day. And I teach this stuff is that we are the journey right now. This is life happening. And how we do anything right now in this moment is how we do everything. If you're going to hustle and grind to get to the goal, guess what? It's going to require the hustle and grind energy, which isn't sustainable. I know because I burn out twice and even tell you about my burnout stories yet, but that's for another episode. But at the end of the day, it's really about how are you showing up? How are you experiencing life? Because if that doesn't feel good, by the time you get to the goal, the novelty will wear off. I know this firsthand from already hitting millions of dollars before. What am I doing?
Yeah. Now, we have statements and we have questions that we ask ourselves, right? And that's what was coming up for me when you're talking is I 100% agree. Like the quality of your life and what you receive out of life is based off of the questions that you ask. And as a parent, this is so important, right? We want to ask our kids questions. Why do you feel that way? Why are you reacting and responding this way? Why do you want to go do that? So many women in our community have this season of life right now where the kids are like, I'm bored. I'm bored. The I'm bored statement. Now we have the statements and we have the questions. Why are you bored? What could you do? How could you find something to do for yourself? And so as parents, it's our job to help our kids ask better questions to themselves and us and not just have these statements. Now, here's the caveat, though, that I want to get your thoughts on. We also have statements in our life that we have to believe in, right? And one of the things you said is how you do one thing is how you do everything. Now, I believe we get to show up as different versions of ourselves in different areas. But at the end of the day, the type of habits, routines, the statements that we make about ourselves to ourselves, those are real. Those show up in all these different areas, right? So how do you find this balance between confident statements and regulations and rules even in the household, and then questions and curiosity to be able to allow yourself to sit in who you want to be and project what maybe could be or could be real?
Yeah, this is, I love this question. I've gotten this one before. It's about designing your life, right? Because I go back to, again, you're living on default mode right now, which was programmed 10, 20, 30 years ago. So if it was 30 years ago, these are some strong programming systems that have been firing and wiring together, right? If it was only 10 years ago, 20 years ago that these real habits have been ingrained because you've changed them already once and you've up-leveled your operating system, but it's, ooh, I'm ready for another up-level. Now it's time to start to fire and wire. And it really boils down to, again, living by default is what's easy and familiar. And that's where the mind likes to stay. What's familiar is predictable. It is safe. Our minds are meant to keep us safe. They'll be our biggest competition on the face of the earth. But when we really boil everything down to where we are and where we want to go, it's, is this still serving my vision? This is where decision mastery comes into play. And honestly, I tell families, don't go by what your coach said or what somebody said on a podcast, read a book on. Find somebody who's going to help you ask those better questions and help you create and design that piece. And then take that back to the family and ask the family, can we design this together? Can we take this to the next level? Can we discuss what does Johnny want? What does Sarah want? What does Katie want? And does everybody want to agree to this? Or does everybody want different parts in this whole piece of the pie? Because this is their life too. This is their memories and this is their default mode. And if we aren't interrupting the default mode because we're noticing, hey, this isn't really what they want. They're just doing it because they're a people pleaser. I just printed off today how to raise non-codependent kids that are people pleasers, right? And that is my goal, is to raise kids that are self-sufficient, independent, and know how to take care of themselves and want to and understand investing at 16 and not, I was never taught it. Like I'm learning in my early 40s, like levels of investing that are blow my mind, that are super simple, but I just never inquired because I just didn't ask the question. And here's where you can really dumb it down. And I'm not insulting anyone, but if you don't ask, the answer is no.
Yep.
So it's like, wow, if I haven't been asking myself, how do I start? Where do I go? And the statements will evolve from the questions, right? And if it feels good, it fits you and your lifestyle and your vision. And if it doesn't, just sit a little longer. Tweak it, pivot it, get rid of it. It's now a boundary. And that's the good news. It's like you get to pick. And here's the best news. Give spouses and children permission to have their own too. And let's respect one another's, right? They're different. You can decide all day, but until you're committed, it doesn't matter. And then expectations and unspoken expectations. Like how many times have you had an unspoken expectation put on you that felt horrible? And how many times have you had an unspoken expectation on somebody else and they finally spoke up after months, weeks, years, and they're like, this doesn't feel good. It's just being aware of those things. If we can be aware and get clear, we could really solve a lot of these challenges that our mind is made up.
Yeah, so good. How do you navigate with your clients, those that sometimes we're ready to ask the question? I remember when I started my coaching and my business and I was like, oh yeah, I'm good. I don't need to do all this deep inner work. And I have a couple questions and these are the things I have questions for. And this is what I see in most people. If they're listening to this podcast, if they're connecting with our community, they have a desire for something. So they have a question. They're ready to pursue something. But then it gets to this level that they're like, well, that's a little too far. Now I'm really unpacking some stuff. This is getting hard. It's starting to make me feel ways that I don't maybe love. And that's usually how this kind of journey goes, of unpacking what it is that we want out of our life and pursuing it, is we're okay with that first. We're so excited. It's like the honeymoon phase of self-development where you're like, oh, this feels good. I can rock it. And then you get to this point where you're like, oh, wait, this is the deep stuff. This is the big stuff. So how do you help someone get through that next kind of step? And if someone starts to get there and they're hitting this upper limit for themselves and they're like, you know what? I think we've done enough. How do you encourage someone to keep going? How does someone decide if they want to?
Yeah, this is good. Oh, I love every single question here today, Kelsey. It's amazing. Well, again, pause and remind yourself you don't have to. Take the pressure off. I am the pressure queen. I put so much, my husband has to check me and remind myself, be like, why are you putting so much pressure on yourself for this? I'm like, because it's for this other person. And I'm like, okay, stop this. Don't need to go there. Give yourself permission. Remember, you don't have to, you get to. So you get to continue. And if you're feeling uncomfortable, good. That's growth. You cannot grow without discomfort. And I'm not saying tough that out, feel the pain, get the gain. Like, I'm definitely not saying that. I'm just saying if you were desiring any sort of growth in any area of your life, it's going to feel a little uncomfortable. So I tell people all the time, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Embrace the fun of being uncomfortable and wonky and weird, right? But stay true to yourself. When you're clear on what your desires are, your desires really don't change on a regular basis. They might shift a little degree here and there, but if you really work with someone to help get that out, into your like vivid vision, it might be some of the things you want along the way that get to the same desired results, right? Maybe you want to be an online coach and you're like, no, I don't want to be an online coach. I'd rather be an in-person consultant. Same business, same goal, millionaire, right? Two different business structures, two different paths, two different roads, right? If you typed it in a GPS, yeah. One would take you left, the other would take you right. Still get you to the same result. So when you're pivoting, it's really important just to continue to crank up your awareness. And when things are feeling not good, is it just because it's uncomfortable and growth, or is it out of alignment? Because that can be a gray area for many people. If they're in your back pocket, you can pivot quicker, literally like this, or it could take you 6-12 months. Like, I've seen people do that when they finally hire me and they're like, thank God it only took me 12 months to find you, because if it took me 10 years, I don't know what I would have done. And again, that goes back to divine timing. And if you're aware, their synchronicity is just like literally out there waiting for you to just be aware of them, but we got to take our blinders off. And then there's what we don't know, which quality questions can help bring that out. Then put it in a bucket and let it go, and then go do life. Because again, that's what we're here to live, read, do, experience. And it's really short. And that's, if I can tell you anything for those mamas out there, this too firsthand, kids make it go faster. Like, our days seem long, but our years fly by. I can't believe I have a 6- and 8-year-old. It was up until last year that I kept calling, oh yeah, my toddler. I'm like, my toddler's 5. That's not toddler anymore. Toddler's 2-3 years old. And she kept laughing. I'm not a toddler. I'm like, I know, you're starting kindergarten. I can't believe it.
It does fly by. And I love that you said that it's evaluating, like, do I want to ask more questions about this or do I not? Can I let that go? And I think that is such a huge skill set for anyone at any point in journey of their life, is to say, is this something I want to pursue more of? Is this something I want to keep in my life? Is this something I want to know more about, or is it not? And I think so often we can be interested in something, and especially people that are in this place of wanting to pursue goals or do things, we get stuck in this like learning cycle where we start consuming all this information and we start learning all these things about ourselves, but we're not actually implementing any of it into our life. And one of the things that it brings me back to is this concept of like choice and decision and action and commitment. You were talking about that. But sometimes I think that we have to take a step back and see, okay, well, if I have to choose, I don't believe you have to choose most things in life, because we hear a lot of this in this community, right? Are you going to go after your goals? Or are you going to be a good mom? You can do both. Like, yes, you can sit for your kids for 5 minutes and you can go hit that goal today. You can do both. And I know you have a concept on ROI, and having a business background and having that kind of type A logistical background yourself, we can talk about the general business ROI, right? And so for those that aren't familiar with the acronym, it's return on investment typically. And so the return on investment in the typical business sense is you look at a decision and you say, are we going to get our return on investment? If we invest in this as a business, will we make back our investment plus more typically? We want to profit on it. And I have done this myself, right? If we go to Disneyland, are we going to get our return on investment? Is it worth it? Should we go on that trip? If we are going to do the wedding, is it worth it? Is it worth putting all that money into it? But you have a different concept of this. Can you walk us through your different perception of ROI and return on investment and how you think about it a little bit differently?
Yeah, it's just that next level deeper, right? Return on investment is such a business term, and it's true. Like, yeah, investment is usually money. But what people have started to understand and finally understood when they really understand how money works and how energy works, and how money's just energy, right? So this isn't just woo. There's so much science behind a lot of this, by the way. It's, for me, return on investment is return on intention, right? So am I being intentional with the money that I'm putting in someplace? Am I being intentional with the energy I'm bringing to this meeting right now, or with the time with my kids and being goofy and playful? Am I being intentional with my husband and creating that time for us? And because life can get busy, but to me, there's no excuse. And I want to bring this back to discipline, because your return on intention can be a discipline. And I think so many have this negative connotation with the word discipline as lack and right? Nobody likes to hear that word. I love the word because I have a different relationship with the word. To me, discipline equals freedom. When I'm disciplined in the things that I love doing that help me experience my vitality, my relationships, my adventure, my fun all day, every day, and the time I miss some of those things I'm normally disciplined in, how I don't feel as good in those areas, I'm like, wow, this is why I'm intentional with where I'm disciplined. And we get to choose what we want to be disciplined in. I'm disciplined in eating chocolate every day, by the way, and I love it. So it's like, again, how do we look at it? And can we be curious? And can we tie this back to, again, getting super clear on your desires? Because when we have the intention, we can check ourselves very quickly and say, how can I now make this a yes? And going back to, like, how do I figure out which one I do first, or which one I put more energy and time into? I call the yes and living life by design. Are you going to go on the girls trip? I help so many of my clients with this. And now I laugh every time I plan a girls trip, because a lot of my friends and family are like, you're going on another girls trip? And I'm like, yeah, we just got back from a family vacation and we're going on another family vacation. No, we have 3 family vacations this year. And they're like, how are you doing this? I'm like, I made it my mission with full intention to be disciplined in figuring out our lifestyle in a way that we can do this. Mm-hmm. Not that we have to do it. Not that we have to do it to look good or meet the status quo of keeping up with the Joneses, because we really love going on adventures with each other. And we're at the age now where kids are snorkeling and they love swimming with turtles. So we're like, cool. When's the next thing? When can we skydive? Oh, when you're 18. We got to wait for a couple more years. But that's just me and my husband and our adventure spirit of what we really want to live out. So this all lines up. And if you're getting anything from all of this, it's like, how do you activate and create this awareness of your desires, creating this vision so that you're deciding from, with intention and with discipline, yes and no decisions all day that only fuel your vision? You're deciding from the vision, you're deciding for the vision, and you're living from the vision. And we make over 35,000 decisions a day. And a lot of this is on autopilot. So this is why I go back, what's your autopilot? What's your default mode? Let's up level that default mode. It doesn't have to take months and years. You can literally get this accomplished in as little as 45, 60, 90 days max if you're up leveling in all areas of life. Like, you're like, I want to do it all. Okay, buckle up. Yeah. You're going to be super uncomfortable, but I will help you get there, right? That's my Cliff Notes version, because intention, I could go a whole hour just on that itself.
Yeah. And, you know, it brings me back to when we were talking about even just the decision for the wedding and having that balance between boundaries and being selfish and doing things for others as well, because sometimes we do have to do things for others. And sometimes we have to have boundaries and be selfish. And it just brought me back to that, because if you don't have that discipline of knowing what the vision is and knowing where you're going and what you're disciplined for, then you can't make those decisions of, is this a boundary or is this something for someone else? And where do I step in? Now, what is the difference in your opinion from discipline and commitment? Is there a difference?
I believe discipline is a result of your commitment, right? Okay. If you're committed, you're going to become disciplined.
When you say that, what I think of myself, I'm like, okay, so commitment is the thought and the intention. Discipline is the follow through and the action.
Commitment is the follow through and action. Decisions, the thought. So you can decide to go to the gym all day, right? And yeah, never go to the gym, right? Easy example. Once you're committed, you put the shoes on, you show up, it's going to be really hard for you to walk in, turn around and walk out without lifting a weight, right?
Yeah.
So you're committed with the action. The repetition of the action creates
is the discipline.
The consistency.
There we go.
Right?
Consistency.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. You have girls 6 and 8. This is like a pivotal age, right? We're getting, just like you said, out of the toddler preschooler kind of age into even a little bit of preteens. I don't know if they have Stanley Cups. We're getting into that era and that season. And so how do you shift them as a mom? How do you help bring them along in this journey so that at a young age, I think, you know, being a boy mom so far myself, like I think it's important for any kids, but I do think there is this aspect with girls where we have to help them really make decisions for themselves and really see into their own self-worth and confidence. And a lot of that comes from this identity of what type of little girl do you want to be? What type of friend do you want to be? What life are you looking to live? And how are you going to be disciplined as an 8-year-old with still having fun, but being disciplined? So do you have some culture things, some things that you do in the household to make this like you're not raising little soldiers, but you're giving good habits?
I'm not the fun police, right? That's my goal. Yeah. It's not. And they have permission to call me out, number one. So we have a rule in our house. If someone is behaving in a way that just doesn't feel good, we can ask them to take a time out, or we can ask them to pull to the side and talk it through, just those two people, right? It's rare that the kids do that, but they have, which is so cool to see. And that's actually one thing. I had a meeting with the school counselor, because Katie was really upset about her school year because there was nobody in her class in first grade from kindergarten, like not one familiar face. And she's my softie. She's my lover. And I'm like, how do you not put one familiar face? It's not like she's asking for her two best friends. She would have loved to have anybody from her kindergarten. So we went through this little interesting part, and I'm like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I feel like my coaching hat would be too brutal for her to hear or take right now. And I don't want to mess her up and have to pay a psychologist down the road, right? Yeah. So some cool things that we do that I know a lot of moms admire me for, and I say this humbly, is I'm not a soldier. I get help them decide what do they want to be disciplined in, knowing they are a productive citizen of the family, right? Because there are things that I want to pay you for, certain chores like that I was never paid for, that I feel like you could earn money and start to understand, again, return on investment and what you do with that. But there's things that we just do as a family unit that it's just expected. And we're going to have spoken expectations. Then let's pick some and let's share and let's rotate them so that not one person is unloading the dishwasher. So one cool thing that I do to prevent, and how you moms out there feel regretful when you raise your tone or yell or snap at your kids, because it happens, even the best of us, it happens. I set up in the morning a routine. Now, granted, my daughters are typically good risers. Like I don't normally need to go wake them up for school, but we're not at the teenage years yet, so that could change. So I'm saying this with humble gratitude that this is where we are right now. They have little alarms on their tablet. They're not on their tablets in the morning unless they're learning Duolingo like Spanish or French or something like that. So they're allowed to do whatever they want once they have their little chart of things to do. Make your bed, brush your teeth. They make their own breakfast unless I failed and didn't have pancakes pre-made or something crazy. My 8-year-old actually last weekend mixed, flipped, and did all the things on the pancakes, didn't burn herself. So I'm even out of that duty now. So as they grow, giving them more space to grow, get uncomfortable, right? And get comfortable with new tasks. So basically, I get up and they know I take Bella on a walk. I do my mommy thing. Sometimes I'm meditating. And if they walk in and they see mommy with her eyes closed, they don't bother me. They knew that at age 2. I could feel the 2-year-old breathing up nose to nose with me, right? And wouldn't interrupt. So they have their things however they want to do it, out of order, in order. They just must get done before the final bell rings on their alarm, that says brush teeth, shoes on. They put themselves in the car so that I drive them to the bus stop. I have my own alarm that goes off to take them down to the bus stop. So it's about 4 minutes after they're brushed their teeth, put on their shoes, right? So sometimes they've caught themselves and they're like in the living room, just being silly girls playing ball or something crazy. Yes, I do allow ball playing in my house. It's okay. I promise. There's nothing to break. But they'll hear my alarm. They're like, oh no, mommy's going to beat us to the car. They know their goal is to get to the car before me. So I'm not yelling, get in the car. It's time to go. Where are your shoes? Where's your backpack? Did you fill your water bottle? Blah, blah, blah. No, they love that they get to do this in their own way. And sometimes they have an hour to do it. Sometimes they have an hour and a half. Sometimes they have 40 minutes, right? It also teaches them to be responsible about time, about themselves. And there's nobody to people please with that. I think that's the biggest thing. Actually, this whole codependent thing really hit hard on me today when I was reading this, because I was like, wow, I used to force my kids to make sure you hug Mimi before you leave. If they don't feel like hugging Mimi, it's okay. And Mimi knows I love them, right? So it's, oof, these are little things I didn't know. And here I am coaching about some of this stuff with adults, growth mindset, fixed mindset. And I'm like, it's good to have your tools in your back pocket and pull the ones that feel in alignment to your family unit and your values and plug them in a fun way and have the kids be responsible for helping some of it happen. Everybody wins this way, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, everybody wins.
What I love that you're bringing up, because I could hear even maybe my past self, but definitely some women in our community, that sounds like a lot to organize. I have to put all these alarms together. I have to teach my kids how to do these things. And it may be depending on what season of life you're in. But here's the thing. When you put that work in for a period of time, then it becomes easier. Then it's giving you back this time. It's giving you back this mental load. It's giving them the ability to have this autonomy over what they're doing. And I think that so often we can look at something today and we can be like, that's a lot more work. I don't want to do that. But we have to look a little bit in the future and we have to take bite sizes till we can get there.
So the first step. They were both preschoolers. We did nothing but one alarm that went off. They couldn't read it, but they knew when it went off, it meant put your shoes on, brush your teeth, get in the car. Two times I drove Kelsey to school without shoes on. She was in the car. And I get to the school, I'm dropping her off in the car line. I'm like, where are your shoes? She goes, oops, mommy. I was a little, and we have a Tesla. So they play on the games in the car if they get in there. She went in extra early to surprise me with playing a game on the Tesla. And of course, she just didn't grab her shoes and put them in the car. So I'm driving there to school and I get to the car line, look at the teacher. I'm like, we'll be back. She doesn't have shoes on. And she looked at me like, how did you get her this far?
How did you get your daughter in the car in those shoes?
Yeah, because I allowed her to take, and I didn't get mad at her. I just said, you're going to be a little late. I know you love school, but it was just like, it's going to backfire as you start, but have fun even with the little oopsies and start small. Like you said, implement one thing, just the one alarm or the one chore box, right?
Yeah.
Get to use a dry erase and check off with no alarms. And again, as the kids get older, allow them to decide, hey, does this still work for you? Do you want to do something different? Are you getting bored with this? Let's make it more fun. We have dance parties now. We do sometimes game time and like in the morning. I know it sounds exhausting, but we are morning people, except for my husband.
But it's all becomes a habit, right? Because I know this even myself. I'm not really a morning person. Like my mind is super active at night. I love the energy of the morning. But my brain and my body so far in life does perform extremely well at night. And I'm trying to shift it and tell myself that's not real. But the fact of the matter is, whether you're a morning person or you're not, you're an evening person or you're not, it really doesn't matter. But it's finding your routine and habit that you can create the life you desire. Going back to what we talked about is the point is, if you want these things out of life, if you don't want to be screaming at your kids, get your water, get your shoes, grab your backpack. Oh my God, I told you 10 times, like, go to the bathroom, whatever it is. If you don't want that, then how are you going to shift it? How are you going to change it? And I think that having actual systems that you can follow works for 90% of the people, right? If you can say, hey, that one mom set up these alarms, this worked for her, I'm going to try it. 90% of the time, it's going to be a method that you can follow that's going to create a version of success. But you have to try before you can even make it your own, because I see this a lot too. People will say, I need to figure out how that would work for me. And it's, you probably do, but you're not going to figure out how it's going to work for you until you try it the other way first. So before we jump into our last couple questions, I want to talk a little bit about how people can connect with you, where they can work with you, because this is literally just like navigating life and unpacking it. And there is this urgency around, we started talking about people grow up fast, kids grow up fast. Our lives go by when we're recording this, I actually lost a family member yesterday, super unexpectedly. And I think it's so important for us to seriously sit in and say, okay, we don't know what the rest of our life's going to look like. So how do I feel right now? And how do I want to make my life feel the way that I want it to feel? And one of the things that you do that is just so kind and such a great opportunity for people is you take in free coaching sessions every month. So can you talk to me a little bit about how someone could get on the list to do a free coaching session with you and where they can follow you and just be in your energy and support?
Absolutely. I appreciate this. And I am sorry about your loss. And again, showing up with grace, right? Progress over perfection. Yes. And those coaching sessions are strictly coaching sessions. I know there's a lot of coaches out there call it a coaching session and they're like pitching them more stuff. No, if you want to understand how to work with me, that's a separate call. But I give away 11 activate and create calls. They're laser coaching calls specifically around your vision. How do we activate and create this vision? And how can you have a taste of what it's like to start living from that vision? So what would version 2027 Jackie do? She'd be giving away coaching sessions. Why do I have to wait till then and have certain income goals be met first? No, it's a yes and do it now. So this is why I'm giving away 11 every month. I just love the number 11 and it feels good. So if you want to get involved with that, you can find me on Instagram at Jacqueline Mack, LinkedIn on Jacqueline Mack. Just DM me, activate, or hey, I heard you about these free coaching calls. We'll figure it out. There's no qualification app process for that. There is for my one-on-one coaching. Or we can do a freedom blueprint, which I go into how that looks. I have a self-study option of the one-on-one, so you can custom your one-on-one as you feel fit. Because I know so many busy mamas right now, one in particular who's like getting a real estate license, just had her third child and closing up one business and a husband of buying three more businesses all at the same time. She's like, I know I said I was going to start with you in February, but are you okay with the middle of March or end of March? I'm like, mama, you just added so much to your plate. I'm truly inspired. And honestly, I wouldn't want you to start right now. Like, and I'm not to take it away from you because it's not my decision, but the fact that you're bringing it up, you know what I'm going to ask you to do. And she's like, I know, close my eyes, put my hands on my heart space, ask me would I love to do this right now or would it feel better then? And she's a make it happen mama. So I know she's going to either call me or message me before then or on that date and we're going to get things rolling. So again, use these tools already. Messy and perfect action. You're not going to know what it feels like until you start being committed to the action of taking it and making it work. Oh, and if you love this talk today, I do have a podcast as well. Courageous and Free with Jacqueline Mack. It's on all the podcast players.
Awesome. So good. And what you were just saying is sometimes we're in a season where we can take a version of action and sometimes our action has to look a little differently. It is very real that certain things don't happen at certain seasons of life. And we do not advocate here for just pushing through no matter what you have going on. But baby steps are really important. And forward is a pace. Forward is a progress. And so how do we move forward? So for someone that's listening in today, we've talked about so many things. What is one action that when they get off of this podcast, they can do today with what they have, with where they're at, and really understand what's next for them?
Notice what you're noticing. Just turn on your awareness. This will start to annoy you because if you're not living in alignment to a vision or your truest desires, you're going to start noticing that things don't feel good and you've just been blind to it or suppressing it. Go there. But you will get annoyed. I will promise you that because when you start to notice what you're noticing, you're turning up your awareness knob. And with that comes things that you love and things that you don't love. And then you're going to be like, now what do I do with the things I don't love? Create a boundary. Let it go. Don't explain. Don't justify. Just honor your word. And if you're out of integrity with honoring your word with someone, go tell them, hey, this isn't working out for me. I need to take a pause on this or I need to end this now. Permission not to justify and explain. But you're not going to even notice that or understand that until you start to turn on your awareness is step one to anything we just spoke about today and noticing what you're noticing and just have a curious, playful look on it. Pretend like you're looking at your own life like in a movie. And just be curious and be like, oh my gosh, that's really funny. I need to stop that. Or, you know what? That's really funny. And I'm going to own that. That's the one tip. And then obviously, if you need any help with any of this, lean into your community on your app. There are so many valuable resources and tools. If something feels like, yeah, go for it. Trust that and just apply it and see what comes of it. You'll be very surprised because it takes one notice, one conversation, that one thing that could change and pivot the trajectory of your life and your kid's life.
That's so true. And honestly, it brings us back to the curiosity theme that we were talking about at the beginning. So I absolutely love that. Now, like you said, moving forward, being curious, we want to always have goals and move towards something. What is it that's lighting you up right now? What are you excited about personally, professionally? What's a goal that's on your heart?
Oh, the number 51, you're going to probably think I'm crazy, right? So I launched, like I said, the self-study version of my Rise Up container. Rise Up stands for Radical Intentional Self-Expansion to unleash your unlimited potential. I teach it in a way that's graceful and creates that ease and flow in your life, that creates the yes and life by design. So I did a bold thing that I was scared to death to do, which was to launch a self-study version of that. So it's like 70 plus videos that you could literally knock out in 90 days or 6 months or a year. So self-study, that's the key, right? Yeah. Take it as you can. And this is the part that I highly tell people, whether it's my program or somebody else's, whatever you're activated by in a very positive way that you like, integrate it. Wisdom doesn't happen from the knowledge without the action, right? So I launched a self-study back on Black Friday. I have 3 people in it right now. My goal is 51 this year. I want to impact 51 lives with that and with a no-brainer investment. It's seriously ridiculous. And it'll stay like that forever in its lifetime access as it grows. So I'm always adding every quarter a couple of videos based on how I'm growing and expanding with my clients or something I'm reading in Growth Mindset. Or like right now, I'm listening to a book, Emotional Intelligence, and I'm like, oh, messed up the first 8 years. Like, meaning I didn't include something, but it's never too late to sit down and be like, hey, mommy doesn't know everything. And look what I just learned. What do you think about this? That's the thing. Just being humble about it and applying it. So yeah, that's my big, juicy audition. And if I get 25, that would be amazing, right? But 51, I'm like, 51, one a week.
Always go for what feels good first and then we see where we fall, but we just try.
Yes.
That is amazing. I can't wait to see you get to 51 this year. That is going to be amazing. And yes, we do not know it all as parents and we definitely just learn along the way and go, oh, adjustment for next time. This has been such a good conversation. I appreciate so much of all the goodness that you have given us today. Cannot wait to have you back. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you so much, Kelsey. It's been an honor and a pleasure. So thank you.
Sometimes the smallest act of love is all a mom needs to feel reinvigorated. If you can relate to that, I'd feel so supported by your 5-star rating and written review. Take a moment and let me know what you thought about this episode.